I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Between the years 2010 and 2013, five young men vanished from San Francisco. These young men would often be referred to as the California Missing Five. They are Jackson Miller, age 19, a young man struggling to find his place in the world. Cameron Remmer, age 29, who had traveled to San Francisco for business. Sean Dickerson, age 23, a keyboard player with shaggy blonde hair, who vanished under very strange circumstances. Christian Hughes, a 20-year-old San Diego man who flew up to San Francisco to visit a friend. And Sean Seedy, a 19-year-old who recently suffered a traumatic brain injury who was last seen leaving his school and heading to a park. All young men, the oldest just 29 years old, with so much life still to live. All young men, each one of them leaving a family behind that continues to search for them and wonder what happened. All young men who have since come to be known as the California Five. We don't know a whole lot about their stories, but their stories still need to be told. Where are Jackson Miller, Cameron Remmer, Sean Dickerson, Christian Hughes, and Sean Seedy? Hello, and welcome to a bonus episode of the Where Are They podcast. This episode will be part one of the California Missing Five. I came across this story while looking through missing person articles. I like to go through the archived files and seek out those stories that are still unsolved and that need media attention. Usually buried in between the well-known cases that everyone talks about, unsolved murders like JonBenet Ramsey or the Black Dahlia, or unsolved missing person cases, such as Maura Murray or Madeline McCann, you find other unsolved missing person cases that never got the media attention, Cases like Paige Coffey from Cleveland, Ohio, or Lisa Lynn Stone from Texas, those are the cases that I want to share. So while doing this research, I came across something referencing the California Five. I was intrigued. I hadn't heard of this before. I hadn't heard of them before. Initial searches turned up articles and information on the Yuba County Five, another story of five men who disappeared in Yuba County back in 1978, a case that has always intrigued and stumped me personally. This was not what I was looking for. This was not the same California Five. Further research finally led me to the modern-day California Missing Five cases. I also want to mention that I have heard how many people disapproved of giving cases monikers like this, like calling these men the Missing California Five. It's kind of looked at as a media grab, and some people are offended by it. They believe it takes away from their identities and their case and their story, instead just making it a headline. But I don't necessarily agree, because for me, this is what grabbed my attention initially. So if this helps these missing men get more attention in the media, I fully support it. I will be telling their stories in two parts. This is part one. Jackson Miller. Jackson Miller was especially known for his athleticism when he was a child growing up. He excelled at swimming, track and field, wrestling, and soccer. Sports were a huge part of Jackson's life. In 2010, at 19 years old, Jackson was living in Cupertino. Cupertino is a California city just south of San Francisco, known for being the headquarters of Apple. Jackson was struggling a bit with anxiety, and he was put on some medication, but as long as he took his meds, he seemed to be managing quite well. At some point, though, in early May of 2010, Jackson stopped taking his medications. His family said that he kind of went, quote, off the rails. The circumstances of who reported Jackson missing officially and what prompted the reporting are unclear, but what we do know is what we learned after that report came in. At 4:10 p.m., Jackson is seen driving his 2004 Honda Pilot into the parking lot for the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. He is seen getting out of his car and walking away from it. He is alone in the video. Authorities would later discover that he left behind his wallet and phone inside the car, and of course this was alarming, considering his mental struggles and the fact that he was parked at the Golden Gate Bridge had everyone fearing the worst. The Coast Guard has cameras up around the bridge, and at first, they believed that they identified a splash in the water around the same time Jackson disappeared. This was devastating, especially to Jackson's family, but that report was soon recanted. The actual bridge cameras that watched the entire waterline around the bridge saw no splashes in the water that day at all. They saw zero people jumping off the bridge. The bridge authorities and law enforcement believe it to be highly unlikely that he went into the water. First, they say a body that jumps off the bridge would be seen on camera. That's one of the main purposes of these cameras, and nothing was seen. Secondly, law enforcement and bridge authorities also claim that a body that goes into the water there will wash up on shore eventually because of the way the currents run. Soon, they discover that CCTV cameras at a nearby bus station catch Jackson boarding a bus shortly after he was seen leaving his car. Authorities now believed he left his car and walked straight over to the bus station, boarding this city bus. Jackson Miller would not be seen or heard from again. Over the years, sightings and leads would come in, but nothing ever definitively led to Jackson. The most promising lead would come in on March 26, 2021. Someone called and reported a sighting to the police. A woman was at a Target store in Woodland, California. She said that Jackson had approached her and asked her for a ride. He said his name was Jackson, and he even casually mentioned to her that he was a missing person. The woman declined to give him a ride, but later did some research to see if she could find a missing person with the name Jackson that looked like this man, and was stunned to come across Jackson Miller. She believes she was speaking to Jackson Miller. Authorities reviewed surveillance footage and identified the man whom the woman had been speaking to. They found him leaving the Target store that day. He was wearing a face mask, so unfortunately you could only see part of his face, and they couldn't say one way or another if they truly felt it was him, but they believed that it could be. They sent the video off to be forensically analyzed to see if they could determine if it was indeed Jackson, but that analysis was inconclusive. So was that young man Jackson Miller? The young man seen at the Target store, who identified himself as a missing person by the name of Jackson, was seen wearing black pajama pants with green shamrocks and a dark green sweater. A blue face mask partially covered his face. Jackson Miller is described as a Caucasian male, standing 5'10" tall, and weighing around 160 pounds when he was last seen, presumably May of 2010. He has brown hair and blue eyes. The potential sighting of him in March of 2021 seems to have a similar description. Many believe, including his family, that it's possible that that is Jackson Miller. If you have any information on the case of Jackson Miller, please contact the Santa Clara County Sheriff's Department at 408-808-4720. Cameron Remmer. Cameron was born on July 30th, 1982, and he was the youngest of four siblings in his family. His family did move around a bit, but always resided in California. As Cameron grew into a young adult, he was diagnosed with celiac disease, a digestive disorder that prevented him from absorbing nutrients and gaining weight. He was also diagnosed as bipolar psychotic, and he was on medication to help with having hallucinations. In 2011, a 29-year-old Cameron got the idea to start a medical marijuana business. On September 29th, 2011, Cameron flew to San Francisco, bringing along 60 to 70 packs of his medical marijuana and about $30,000 in cash. He checked into the Fairmount Hotel. On October 6th, 2011, he called a friend to discuss a place for Cameron to possibly live in the San Francisco area. It seemed that Cameron wanted to move there, possibly permanently, or even just for a little while to help grow his business. A little while later, however, Cameron called this friend back and said, never mind, he figured it out and he found a place. He did not indicate where that place was. That day, he left the Fairmount Hotel and he left his belongings with the bellman at the hotel. Cameron vanished for 3 days. On October 9th, 2011, Cameron was seen coming back into the hotel. He was said to be a little bit disheveled and he was wearing two different shoes. For some reason, while he was seen at the hotel, he did not pick up his belongings, which included that $30,000 in cash and that 60 to 70 packs of marijuana. Cameron left the Fairmount Hotel and was never seen again. His family traveled to San Francisco to search for him. They put up flyers and they pounded the pavement, which included searching through some nearby homeless camps. San Francisco had a homeless population of around 1,900 people in 2011. His family feared that he had stopped taking his medication and he was in great need of help. They also believed finding him was crucial because he could be a danger to himself or even maybe others. A few weeks after Cameron was last heard from, the police notified his family that they had located him and that they had taken him to a local hospital for an examination. So, of course, as you can imagine, his family was overjoyed and they raced up to the hospital, only to discover that it was a mistaken identity. The man they had found was not Cameron. Cameron Remmer remains missing to this day, and it is very possible that he is living on the street somewhere in need of help in the San Francisco area. Cameron is described as a Caucasian male standing around 5'10" tall and weighing around 170 pounds when he was last seen in October of 2011. He has blonde hair. He may appear disheveled, and while he had short hair when he vanished, he may have longer hair now. He also desperately needs medication. Cameron was 29 years old when he disappeared, and he would today be 42. His family has continued the search for Cameron by using social media and continuing physical searches of the San Francisco area also. If you have any information on the whereabouts of Cameron Remmer, please contact the San Francisco Police Department at 415-553-1071. Jackson and Cameron are part of the California Missing Five. We will continue sharing as many stories as we can and helping raise awareness of this growing epidemic. Thank you so much for listening to Jackson and Cameron's story. Again, just two of the California Missing Five. We will be back again very soon with the additional California Five stories. So until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones. Between the years 2010 and 2013, five young men vanished from San Francisco. These young men would often be referred to as the California Missing Five. They are Jackson Miller, age 19, a young man struggling to find his place in the world. Cameron Remmer, age 29, who had traveled to San Francisco for business. Sean Dickerson, age 23, a keyboard player with shaggy blonde hair, who vanished under very strange circumstances. Christian Hughes, a 20-year-old San Diego man who flew up to San Francisco to visit a friend. And Sean Seedy, a 19-year-old who recently suffered a traumatic brain injury who was last seen leaving his school and heading to a park. All young men, the oldest just 29 years old, with so much life still to live. All young men, each one of them leaving a family behind that continues to search for them and wonder what happened. All young men who have since come to be known as the California Five. We don't know a whole lot about their stories, but their stories still need to be told. Where are Jackson Miller, Cameron Remmer, Sean Dickerson, Christian Hughes, and Sean Seedy? Hello, and welcome to the Where Are They podcast and part two of the California Missing Five. In part one, we covered Jackson Miller and Cameron Remmer, and in part two today, we will discuss Sean Dickerson, Christian Hughes, and Sean Seedy. Sean Dickerson. Sean Dickerson dreamed of moving to New York City with a friend in 2011. He was sharing a San Francisco apartment with five other roommates in an effort to save money, and he was working at a men's clothing store. He was also playing the keyboard in a local band. On December 1st, 2011, Sean left work around 11:30 a.m. for his lunch break. Sean did not return to work, however, for unknown reasons, and his boss texted him that he was on the verge of being fired. Sean allegedly told his boss that he would be in the next day. The next morning, however, Sean woke up around 11 a.m. He did not go into work. He left his apartment around noon, taking only his cell phone with him. Sean would walk around various points of interest in San Francisco and took pictures with his phone. He posted 16 photos to his Facebook page at 4:02 p.m. This was something that Sean had never done before, so people took notice. But from there, Sean Dickerson disappeared. He never returned back to the apartment, and no one saw or heard from him. Attempts to reach him on his phone were also unsuccessful. His family would be leading the charge searching for Sean. For 4 days, they searched all over San Francisco, everywhere they could think of, but there was no sign of Sean. On December 6th, 2011, Sean Dickerson was reported as missing. Of course, a young man, Sean was just 23 years old, he didn't have to answer to anyone. This is always the problem with missing adults, especially young adults like Sean. His mother used every resource she could think of and started gaining some attention on social media. Soon, another mother of a missing person would reach out to her. She believed that Sean may be living among the Rainbow family. Now, the Rainbow family is a group of people that have this designated name as the Rainbow family. Wikipedia describes the Rainbow family as this. The Rainbow family of Living Light is a counterculture in existence since approximately 1970. It is a loose affiliation of individuals, some nomadic, generally asserting that it has no leader. They put on yearly primitive camping events on public land known as Rainbow Gatherings. End quote. Did Sean go off to live with others in the Rainbow family? Further investigation into this group to see if Sean did indeed join their group or join their family or at least travel with them turned up nothing. There was no signs of Sean, but again, the group tends to stay off-grid and kind of live under the radar. Did Sean simply walk away from his life? He was struggling with his job for some reason, and his behavior, especially that day that he went missing and the day before, was a little bit unusual. Maybe he was considering self-harm. Perhaps he was that distraught and no one was quite aware how bad it was. His family, however, does not believe that Sean would have taken that route. He had plans. He was planning to move to New York City. But his ex-girlfriend and roommate believe that it is a possibility considering his odd behavior, and they don't want to rule that out. Other rumors have surfaced indicating Sean was doing some low-level drug dealing. Did Sean possibly run into trouble with that? Could he have run into foul play? The truth is, we just don't know. Sean Dickerson is still missing from San Francisco, California. He is described as a Caucasian male standing 5'8" tall and weighing around 140 pounds when he was last seen in December of 2011. Sean has blonde hair and blue eyes, but may dye his hair brown. He was last seen wearing a black or gray hooded sweatshirt, a black dress shirt, black pants, and brown dress shoes. Sean was 23 years old when he disappeared, and he would today be 35. Anyone with any information is asked to contact the San Francisco Police Department at 415-558-5508. Christian Hughes. Christian Hughes was born July 24, 1992, and grew up in San Diego, California. His family said he was very social, super friendly, and everyone always said he had a big heart. In 2013, after recently losing his father, Christian decided to fly to San Francisco for a few days and visit some friends. On February 4th, 2013, Christian's mother, Kim, drove her son to the San Diego airport, knowing that she'd see him again in 3 quick days. They said their goodbyes, not knowing this was the last time that they would. Christian's return flight was due back in San Diego on February 7th, around 2:30 p.m., but 2:30 that day came and went, and Christian did not arrive. Kim did confirm that his plane arrived, and since he was not on it, she thought he must have missed his flight. However, all of her efforts to contact her son were unsuccessful. Christian was 20 years old and had recently lost his father. Kim knew he was suffering a little bit and was instantly quite worried. But again, her son was an adult. The next day, February 8th, Kim contacted Christian's aunt in San Francisco. She confirms that she saw Christian a couple days ago on February 5th, the day after Christian arrived in San Francisco, and she gave him $70. She didn't note anything unusual at all about their encounter or about Christian's behavior. His mom tried reaching out to his San Francisco friends, but that didn't turn up any clues either. Christian's friends would later call the San Francisco police to report Christian as missing. On the evening of February 8th, the San Diego police would show up at Kim's house with the information that Christian was indeed now missing. The search for her missing son was on. The only input his friends were able to provide was that Christian packed up his belongings and left the home around 1 o'clock a.m. the morning of February 7th. There doesn't seem to be any reason given for him leaving at that hour, as his flight home wasn't until early afternoon. No one seemed to know where he would go either. A year later, a sighting of Christian would come in, a sighting that many believe, for some reason, has merit. He was seen with longer, shaggier hair, walking in San Francisco with an unidentified blonde female. Was it Christian? Many believe it was. However, the truth is, we just don't know. Did Christian walk away from his life, possibly because of some mental struggles that he was having? He also has unspecified medical conditions, which has further concerned his loved ones. Authorities don't believe foul play was involved. There is at least no evidence pointing towards foul play, but again, there are no clues or evidence pointing toward any answers. Christian is described as a Caucasian male, standing 5'8" tall, and weighing around 140 pounds when he was last seen in February 2013. He has brown hair, hazel eyes, a scar running down the length of his spine, and he has the words West Coast tattooed on his left arm, the word loyalty tattooed on his right arm, a playing card tattooed on his wrist, and praying hands tattooed on his chest over his heart. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Christian Hughes is asked to contact the San Diego Police Department at 619-531-2000. Sean Seedy. In early 2013, 19-year-old Sean suffered a traumatic injury. Sean was in a coma for a few days, and for a while it wasn't even clear if he would survive it. But he did. Once out of the coma and eventually out of the hospital, Sean had lingering issues. He had short-term memory struggles, and he would get tired very easily. He required daily medication, and it was going to take some time for Sean to fully heal physically. On May 21st, 2013, Sean talked to his mother on the phone. He told her he was going to visit a former high school teacher and borrow a tape. Sean is seen on surveillance video leaving the French-American school in Hayes Valley. His arm is in a sling, and he is seen walking away from the school alone. At 1:30 p.m., he calls his father and tells him he's going to take the bus to a nearby park. He doesn't specify which park. His father calls him back about 30 minutes later, but the call goes straight to voicemail, leading him to believe that the phone had died. Sean would not be seen or heard from again. Of course, with his medical issues, the search for Sean is immediate, and leads do come in, but none of them turn out to be Sean. His family also sets up a website to spread awareness and to encourage leads. The website is SeanCD.com. Leads can remain anonymous through this website. So what happened to SeanCD that May afternoon? Did he have a memory lapse and forget where he was or forget where he was going? Was he struggling more mentally than anyone was aware? Has Sean now been living off the radar for 11 years? Or could something have happened to him? Many have also pointed out that his medical condition might make him an easy target. There has been no additional activity on his cell phone after it went silent that afternoon, and none of his bank cards have been used. There's been no hits on his social security number. None of his belongings have been found. Sean is described as a biracial male, white and Asian, standing 5'5" tall and weighing around 120 pounds when he was last seen in May of 2013. He was 19 years old then. He would today be 30. Sean has brown hair, brown eyes, and he wears braces. His left arm and wrist were in a black splint at the time of his disappearance, and he has titanium screws in his left wrist and in his head. He has a surgical scar on the right side of his head extending from his forehead to the back of his skull, which is usually covered by his hair. His right eye also droops slightly. At the time of his disappearance, Sean also had a slight mustache. He was last seen on surveillance cameras wearing a black and gray hooded North Face rain jacket, blue jeans, and black slip-on canvas shoes with a white rubber trim. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of SeanCD is asked to contact the San Francisco Police Department at 415-553-0123. Thank you for listening to the stories of the California Missing Five. Five young men vanished without a trace in the San Francisco, California area. Five young men's disappearances may be connected, according to many from that region. I'm curious to know your thoughts. Do you think these cases are connected? Could they be connected? Or are they just five men missing in a city that has over 1,000 open and active missing person cases? Possibly they are connected, and maybe other cases are also connected to theirs. Thank you again for listening to the stories of Jackson Miller, Cameron Remmer, Sean Dickerson, Christian Hughes, and SeanCD. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.